You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell is seeking a combined $4 million for projects in Ilwaco and Long Beach. Among Cantwell's requests for the federal budget for the 2027 fiscal year include $3 million for sewer improvements in Long Beach. The project aims to replace a sewer main that serves about 800 people. Cantwell is also seeking $1 million for Ocean Beach Health that would support Pacific County's public hospital district in creating a space for an advanced MRI system. Earlier this spring, Ocean Beach Health submitted a $1.4 million funding request to house the MRI machine. Ocean Beach Health says this MRI suite would improve local access to MRI services, reducing dependence on a mobile unit and eliminating the need for patients to travel out of the county for essential diagnostic care. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Rising diesel prices are squeezing Pacific Northwest fishermen. They're cutting into profits and adding new uncertainty to an already challenging industry. Rachel Miller Howard reports.
Gulls circle over the port in Garibaldi, Oregon, as Jesse Kuhn offloads his catch.
And what kind is it?
It's a Chinook salmon.
Chinook.
He's a fourth-generation fisherman, born and raised in Tillamook County.
I guess it's in the blood now.
But early in the season, the numbers aren't adding up. Since the war in Iran began in late February, fuel costs have surged, cutting thousands of dollars from Kuhn's already thin margins.
It really makes it feel like you're just gambling.
Salmon fishing is fuel-intensive, involving long offshore runs to find the fish.
We've probably made a few thousand dollars is all, after the fuel costs. I could do that working at Home Depot or McDonald's or something.
He considered tying the boat up and waiting for the season to kick into higher gear, but decided to keep fishing. Chris Anderson is a fisheries economist at the University of Washington. He says many might be less willing to fish during transition seasons due to high costs.
And that's going to impact their revenue overall, and of course it's going to impact whether or not that fish is available for us in the market to eat.
Anderson says when fishermen tie up their boats, it cuts off supply and strains long-standing international buyers like Japan and China. It creates long-term problems at home, too.
The processor also isn't able to provide work for their crews. The shippers who trade it, the retailers don't have that product to sell. We kind of lose the economic multiplier of the post-harvest fishing sector locally.
Anderson says trawl vessels, boats that drag nets for harvesting shrimp and groundfish, have the highest fuel burden because they need bigger engines. In Brookings, on the southern Oregon coast, Brad Pettinger runs a trawl operation with two 80-foot boats, each with 10,000-gallon fuel tanks. He pays his crew a percentage of the catch value. He says he typically covers the fuel costs, roughly 10% of his revenue. This year, it's different.
I may have a discussion with my crew about how we're going to do this. The increase will probably take it off the top, I'm guessing.
More money for fuel, less for the crew. In Ilwaco, Washington, the impact is already reaching some customers. At Shake and Bake Sport Fishing, Captain Mike Kohlbuck is passing fuel costs on to clients who book trips.
This year, we have a $300 day surcharge to make up for some of it. And if it keeps going up, I guess we could have a bigger surcharge.
Kohlbuck blames high fuel prices on the Trump administration. He says most other fishermen don't share his politics, but he thinks the war is starting to sway minds.
Now all of a sudden they're like, hey, wait a minute, nothing got cheaper, everything got more expensive.
Pettinger sees it differently. He supports the administration and says fishermen have seen its benefits. This April, the administration announced a new Office of Seafood under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's aimed at expanding access to loans, grants, and markets for fishermen.
It's going to get better. It's going to get better for fishermen across this country.
In Garibaldi, Captain Hank Slavens is unloading after a three-day salmon trip.
$1,500 worth of fuel on this trip. And we found probably 7 grand worth of fish.
Fuel alone ate up roughly 20% of the trip's value. Slavens worries about his bottom line.
Hopefully Trump's doing what he something for us that we don't realize at the moment, you know. That's what I'm thinking.
For now, he's just going to keep on fishing.
We're just going to do it until we're broke.
In Garibaldi, I'm Rachel Miller Howard.
Washington State's newest Supreme Court judge will be on the ballot in the fall, despite taking office just this week. State government reporter Sarah Mises-Tan has more.
Theo Angelus joins the court with no past experience as a judge, but with over two decades as an intellectual property lawyer. Governor Bob Ferguson appointed him to the Supreme Court bench to replace retiring Justice Barbara Madsen. But governor appointees can only serve until the next election, so Angelus will be on the ballot in November. Angelus previously worked with Governor Ferguson when he was a lawyer and also during his time as an attorney general. He's the first justice of Middle Eastern descent to serve on the Supreme Court. Voters will see a crowded field of Supreme Court candidates on their fall ballots, as a record number of seats are up for election this year. In Olympia, I'm Sarah Mises-Tan.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. American Democracy Minute is up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Overshadowed by the stream of caustic gerrymandering and voter suppression bills nationwide, Maryland Governor Wes Moore signed several pro-voter election bills May 12th. One bill includes the state's first administrative rules for municipalities using ranked choice voting and protections from election AI deepfakes. WYPR reports that Governor Moore signed SB 29, requiring ballots to be written in easily understood plain language, and SB 940, which confirms the state's mail-in ballot deadline up to 10 days after the election if postmarked on or before Election Day. However, in a recent Mississippi case, the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority seems poised to abolish ballot grace periods. Two bills addressing the use of artificial intelligence deepfakes in elections were signed as well. SB 141 prohibits use of AI for misinformation or disinformation in elections. SB 8 bans use of AI impersonation of individuals to cause harm, which would include in elections. Rounding out this positive democracy news, SB 848 codifies election administration rules for municipalities using ranked choice voting. Employed by Tacoma Park, Maryland since 2007, recently passed in Greenbelt and under consideration in Berwyn Heights. 49 jurisdictions in 22 states use ranked choice voting. We've linked to the bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.